Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, friends, there is some absolutely amazing things occurring all across the United States of America at the tops of some of our nation's tallest buildings. What am I discussing and what am I talking about? Well, friends, you stay aboard. Segments 2 and 3 of the program today, we're going to be talking with a gentleman that's going to be explaining what I just laid out as a little bit of a teaser. Friends, you're not going to want to miss this. It is a phenomenal thing of great spiritual impact that is taking places. And again, you're hearing me correctly, all across the United States at the tops of some of our nation's tallest buildings. That's coming up in segments 2 and 3. But friends, right now, we're going to go to the probably hottest issue of the day, that which everybody is focusing on, and that is the fact that even as we speak, about 6 minutes ago, depending on what part of the United States we're talking about, the members of the Electoral College began meeting, and they're going to begin casting their ballots for the next president of the United States. And we're going to get into that in great detail in this segment. This is Dave Kistler along with Sam Rohr and Gary Dolan. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, and it's great to have you aboard. Again, friends, today is the day when all 538 electors of the Electoral College will go to their respective state capitals, cast their ballots or their votes for the next president of the United States. And even as they prepare to do so, the Clinton Obama camp is still sounding the same dull flat note that somehow the Russians stole our November 8 elections. Over the weekend, John Podesta, chairman of Hillary's campaign, said that her failed presidential campaign was the result of quote unquote personal involvement on the part of Vladimir Putin, and that the election email hacks were done for the express purpose of making Donald Trump the quote-unquote lapdog of Vladimir Putin. Well, friends, let me say this. In addition to all of that, they are claiming, that is Hillary's people, that all 17 of the security agencies within the security apparatus of the United States of America agree that Russia did hack the situation there, the emails, and that they are the reason why Hillary lost. Friends, let me say this. That is not the case. Not all 17 do concur on this at all. In fact, the only person that has really come out and said that there may have been Russian involvement was the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. And because he basically oversees the other agencies, then Podesta and the Hillary team are saying that he said all 17 concur, and they do not. But all of that's going on, even as the voters are casting ballots in the Electoral College. Also over the weekend, and I want to get both these out there before I go to Sam and Gary for some comments, but Michelle Obama actually made some statements now that have gained her a good bit of notoriety over the weekend. And her statement was this, quote, "Now we know what it's like to live in a country without hope." And of course, she was speaking of the fact that Donald Trump is now our president-elect. So as a result of that, we are, according to her, hopeless. Well, let me ask a question of you, Sam. What planet is she living on? What parallel universe is she living in? Because as I am traveling around the country since November 8, I find the exact opposite of what she's saying. Not only is this not a hopeless country, it is the first time in 8 years that we're seeing people have expressions of hope on their face and the joyful comments of hope in their voices.
Dave, like always, we got to define, what do you mean by hope? And that's very clear that that Barack Obama's definition of hope was not my definition of hope, and his definition of change was not my definition of change, nor probably the majority of those listening to this program. Dave, there is a reality world, and there is a world of unreality, made up world, fake world. You have fake news, you got a fake world, and there are some, of which Michelle Obama is a part, who very clearly sees life from a different perspective than what those who cast the deciding votes in this last election viewed. Those who voted for a Donald Trump and against a Hillary Clinton do have hope, but those who were on that side, they are hopeless at this moment. And Dave, I would have to say they're also, in many of them, they're dangerous because of where they are actually perceiving reality to be.
Gary, let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible that Michelle Obama is living in such a bubble that she and Barack and maybe Bill and Hillary Clinton and John Podesta and all those within that orbit simply can't see the smiling faces on the part of those in the business community who are thrilled that perhaps now America has the possibility of becoming what we once were, what we can be, and really what we should be? Or are these people, Gary, in your estimation, merely spinning a narrative solely for the purpose of trying to delegitimize Donald Trump and perhaps curtail his ability to once again unleash the greatness that is America and make this nation once again a great country?
Dave, you know, that's an interesting thought there, that they might be living in some kind of a bubble. I suppose you could say that's a possibility, but I kind of doubt it. I think that, you know, they know what's going on in this world, and I think that what's taking place is that they are really facing shame over how great this last particular presidential election was lost. And consequently, they are trying to cover it up and cover it over with some of the things that they're saying. I mean, when I heard her say the other day, that is Michelle say, that now we know what it's like to live in a country without hope, I thought, what a ridiculous statement that is. Because as you said, if you just look around the city of Washington, D.C., in which they live, you can see a whole change in atmosphere. You can see a whole change in attitude. It's not the gloomy place that it had been. It is a more joyful place to be in. And so I kind of think that they are trying to cover their faces that are shamed-faced because of the way that they have actually lost this last election, and they all know that Barack Obama's legacy is really going down the tube in this. But you know, it's interesting, as Sam was speaking, I was thinking about this matter of hope. Is it not true that the Bible says that without God there is no hope? And the fact of the matter is, in this last election, we see that Donald Trump has been bringing many born-again believers into his circle. And so the reason why we do see greater hope as we anticipate the next 4 years is because there's a greater presence of God and biblical principles taking place in Washington, D.C.
Well, Gary, I think maybe you've hit upon something, and I will echo it again and underscore it again as I crisscross not only the state of North Carolina, but the whole of the United States. And as I've done that since November 8, I'm telling you, there is more hope out there, and legitimately so, than any time I have seen perhaps in the last decade. And so what Michelle Obama is seeing, I'm not sure. But Sam, let me go to you and ask you this in about the minute or so that we have left before the break. Today is the day when the electors cast their votes in the Electoral College. There has been a lot of pressure placed on them. I saw a gentleman today in Charlotte who was saying that he has received two baskets full of letters trying to get him to change his vote from Donald Trump. Do you think there's going to be any shenanigans? Should we expect to hear something sinister taking place, or is it going to go as it should go?
Well, Dave, the whole thing has been sinister in the way it's been approaching, but I think it's going to occur. I think it's going to occur without a major mishap. I think most of this are threats and intimidation.
I pray you're right, Sam. I tend to agree with you, but friends, a lot to pray about between now and the end of the day. When we come back, our special guest is going to share with us some amazing things that are happening at the tops of tall buildings all across the United States. Don't miss it. After this time out.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Driven into Pennsylvania by the British, it was on this day, December 19th, in the freezing winter of 1777, that the Continental Army set up camp at Valley Forge. Lacking supplies, soldiers died at the rate of 12 per day. General Washington, who was seen kneeling in prayer in the snow, recorded, "To see men without clothes to cover their nakedness, without blankets to lay on, without shoes by which their marches might be traced by the blood from their feet, and at Christmas taking up their quarters within a day's march of the enemy, is a mark of patience and obedience which, in my opinion, can scarce be paralleled."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, September 12, 1777.
We, the people of the United States of America, in order to form more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, starting last week, we mentioned to you an opportunity that you have to play a critical role in the expansion of Stand in the Gap Today, Stand in the Gap Weekend, Stand in the Gap Minute, and that is an appeal that we have made to you with respect to some much needed, in fact, desperately needed improvements with our radio studio. And we're offering you some incentives if you would choose to be a part of this project. And an individual has come forward and said that they will match up to $15,000 any gift that is given by any listeners to this program. Sam, explain to our listeners once again the concept and what it is that we are proposing that they do to be involved with us, and then what they can expect in return from us if they choose to participate.
Well, Dave, absolutely. Now, thank you for making it known to our listeners. We have a lot of requests from people across the country of how they can help us. And I was just on the program, early this morning, I was on with a station manager from a large station out in the middle part of the country who was sharing that this program is one of the most listened to on his entire station, and that the comments that are getting. And we're going to respond by asking people if the program is valuable to you as you are listening. You can participate with us. We are a ministry. We don't have heavy funding behind us. We are pastors and preachers who are committed to doing what we can for the glory of God. The radio program, our state chapters that we're putting together are all about that. And we need the help of God's people. This is an opportunity to help us advance what we are doing through radio now on between the three stations, just under 1,000, a little over 900 stations across the country now. And you help us to proclaim truth into the public square. We need to expand our studio. This is a specific project where we need to add some video equipment, because that is a request by many people to have short video pieces. We are doing things that we can take excerpts of the programs and put it into the hands of pastors for the purpose of using it with their congregations, a whole broad range of things, but we need to upgrade what we have. Normally, studios may cost $50,000 to $75,000 to $100,000. We're thinking of that we can do what we need to do simply for that $15,000, and that's what we need people to match us with here right now. It's actually $30,000, but we need the match that's coming up, and it has to be in by the end of the of December in order to be counted, Dave.
Well, Sam, thank you so much. And friends, please take the admonition you just heard from Sam seriously. We know we have been hearing from people as a result of the announcements we made last week. And for those, we thank you so very, very much. But friends, this is a vitally important ministry and is going to continue to be in the months and years ahead if our Lord tarries, as we try to communicate truth to you that you're not going to hear on any other media outlet. In fact, over the course of the last year, there have been several major stories that this program has broken before the national media even got to them. And then every day we try to bring you a thoroughly biblical, thoroughly constitutional perspective on all of these things, and even try to sift through a lot of the confusion and a lot of the muck and the mire that you hear on the news on a daily basis, and try to give you the truth. We thoroughly research what we do here to make sure, as much as is humanly possible, that what we're telling you is the absolute truth, the unmitigated truth. And so if you appreciate that, as Sam has said, and you'd like to be a part of this, we would strongly, strongly encourage you to do so. And if you would like to contribute, you can go to our website, which is simply standinthegapradio.com, standinthegapradio.com, and you can follow the instructions there on the homepage, and it'll direct you to a spot where you can make a donation. And that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Gentlemen, let's shift gears very, very quickly. And I want to welcome aboard a gentleman that has been in my orbit, so to speak, for a little while. But we got together this past week, had a wonderful time of fellowship together. And his name is John Whaley. He is with a ministry called The Rooftop. John, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be with you.
John, let me ask you this. There are some major things going on with this ministry called The Rooftop. What I'd love for you to do is explain what the term rooftop is, why you chose that term, where does it come from, and then talk a little bit specifically about what the Rooftop ministry does.
The Rooftop is an international ministry. It comes from Acts chapter 10, Peter's encounter with God on the rooftop. And it's a ministry that is calling the church back to God's heart for the lost, as well as the power of the gospel and the priority of prayer in the life of the church. It came out of it was really birthed the entire ministry out of a burden of our founder, Dennis Pethers, who's a British evangelist, who was very burdened about the fact several years ago that the vast majority of Christians in the body of Christ, those who profess Christ within the walls of our church buildings, rarely, if ever, talk about Jesus outside the walls of our church buildings. And as he was seeking God, asking God, why is this so, God led him to Acts chapter 10, in which Peter receives a fresh vision of God's heart for the lost on a rooftop prayer encounter. And out of that was birthed the ministry of the rooftop, as he began taking leaders onto high places on the rooftops, looking over their cities, praying for a fresh vision of God's heart. And God has just continually moved throughout this ministry, and so we serve churches all across the United States as well as around the world, and calling them back to God's heart for the lost.
You know, John, this is a tremendous ministry that you have, and my question to you is, how did you actually get involved with this, and how many people do you have involved with it right now, even as you speak?
I became involved with the Rooftop when I was a pastor. Prior to coming to this position with the Rooftop as the national pioneer, I pastored for 21 years across the Southeast. I met Dennis Pethers actually at a rooftop prayer event, and Dennis and I became close friends. And then in 2014, when the rooftop was launching internationally, he asked me to come alongside and become the U.S. pioneer to lead the work across the U.S. We are presently have pioneers in South Africa, Australia, as well as Zimbabwe and Uganda and Kenya, and presently working with a young man in Germany. And so it is spreading across the world. In America, we have a number of churches that are going through the rooftop transformation process of getting a fresh vision of God's heart for their city and helping their people begin to understand, how do we engage those among us who don't know Jesus and they don't even know they don't know Jesus? How do we begin sharing our story and God's story with those people?
John, this is Sam. I just want to jump in and follow up on that. You know, prior to the election, there were probably more people involved in prayer than I have seen for a long, long time. People mm-hmm. gathering, praying for repentance or praying for revival. In your emphasis with the rooftop, obviously you mentioned it's praying to, from the standpoint of furthering the gospel message. How does the praying for revival and repentance and all that factor into the emphasis of the rooftop?
Well, it factors in from the very beginning. Our emphasis is on prayer. When you look at Acts 10, what happens in Acts 10 is really a revival breaks out. Peter begins to not only get a fresh vision of God's heart for the lost, but Peter begins to see in his own life all the things that were keeping him from engaging people with the gospel, specifically the Gentile world. And so as we work with churches, you know, there's a strong emphasis on the fact as we seek God's heart for those among us who are lost, we also have to ask God to show us how are we standing in the way, what prejudices and what issues in our own lives are keeping us from engaging the lost world. And as people begin to work through that and begin to really see, do I really have God's heart for those among me who don't know Jesus? And God, would you show me what's standing in the way? We begin to see that repentance and that breaking as they realize that they don't have God's heart, and there is prejudice, and there is pride, and there are issues in their lives that are keeping them from joining Jesus in his mission of seeking and saving the lost. And out of that comes that reviving as they return to God's heart and begin engaging a lost world.
John, I know after we met last week and you mentioned that Acts 10 was the place from which the concept of the rooftop came, I went back through that chapter and it is amazing. You talked about us dealing with our own prejudices, us dealing with our own pride and all those things that, as you so eloquently said, hinder us from being on board with what God wants to do. Let me ask you this. I know the rooftop basically got started in 2014. We've just come through this past year, 2016, an election year. Between 2014 and 2016, did you see a growing, a developing, a brewing passion, more of an awareness, perhaps, I guess is the best way to word it, on the part of God's people, maybe even God's ministers, of just how desperate we need to be in this thing of prayer? Did you see an increase like I did? I saw it all across the United States. Just wondering if you saw the same thing.
I did, definitely. It's interesting, as I talk to pastors, there's more an increasing passion that we need a fresh touch from God. We need a fresh encounter with God. Met with a pastor this morning that said, I'm so weary of doing church. Just want to see God move. And there is an emphasis of more and more people just seeking the face of God and asking God to move in their lives and move in their churches and move across their cities and begin just manifesting his glory. And so you're definitely seeing an increase in that across the nation.
Well, friends, we're talking with John Whaley of a ministry called The Rooftop. It is an international ministry. Its emphasis is prayer, going to the high places of major cities, literally across the globe. And in that high place, looking down on the city, praying for a fresh vision from God. God, what is it that you want to do in this city? And how can I step in lockstep with you and be involved in what you want to do in the city? And I think, friends, that is a critical component. When we come back from the break, we're going to go into some of the specifics of why the rooftop concept is so vitally important to our nation right now. while at the same time being so tragically absent from so much of the Church of Jesus Christ. Again, our guest is John Whaley. Friends, you're not going to want to miss this. We're going to talk specifics as far as cities where the rooftop prayer ministry has gone and the impact of it. Don't miss it after this brief timeout.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Russia's ambassador to Turkey has died after being shot in Ankara. That word from a Russian official, the gunman in the attack has been shot and killed. Members of the Electoral College voting today to officially elect Donald Trump president.
There are 20 Illinois electors who are representing the majority wishes of almost 13 million residents of Illinois.
Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White in Springfield, electors casting votes in 50 states and the District of Columbia. A controversial North Carolina law limiting the rights of transgender citizens could end up being repealed.
Outgoing North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory is calling a special session of the state legislature to repeal it now that the city of Charlotte just today rescinded its original ordinance demanding transgender persons be allowed to use public restrooms of their gender identities.
Fox's Evan Brown. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Our communications team here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, headed by Director Dan Bartkowiak, has been doing some great work in getting the word out about pro-life and pro-family issues. One most recent example is his work exposing Planned Parenthood and what they do with your tax dollars. In a post on our Facebook page is a video Dan put together showing how Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood got a 15% raise from taxpayers last year, and yet has closed five facilities, is providing thousands fewer cancer screenings and STD tests, and yet performed 600 more abortions than in the previous year. They do more than half the abortions in Pennsylvania every year. You would benefit from seeing our great communications, and here's how. First, like our Pennsylvania Family Institute and Council Facebook page. And second, sign up for our e-alert email service at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. Our special guest today is John Whaley of an international prayer ministry called The Rooftop, and we've been talking to him about what's going on literally around the globe with this increased and renewed and much-needed emphasis on prayer. Specifically, The Rooftop focuses on prayer with respect to evangelization of a city, but it goes beyond that, and John, that's where I want to go here in this segment and is talk to you a little bit about revival toward the end of the segment. But I want to ask you something right now. It seems like, and again, as a young man who grew up in a pastor's home, 32 years in addition to that in evangelism, preaching in churches all across the United States of America and literally around the world, it seems like, John, years back, decades back, we replaced this critical component of prayer with something that we thought could provide for us an equal access to success in our ministries, maybe a more instantaneous access to success. And that is, if we can just identify the right program and implement that program in our church, then that's what's going to cause our churches to grow. That's what's going to bring the lost in and allow us to have an opportunity to present the gospel to them. But we forsook this most fundamental concept In fact, I would dare say that most Christians individually, most churches, do not understand the priority of prayer. And yet, if you look at Acts 2, verse 42 of the early church, it says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So in other words, there was not a lot of programs necessarily in the early church, but prayer was a vital component. I would love for you to speak to that, how the church abandoned this priority of prayer. And again, maybe talk a little bit about the fact that in desperate times like we've been in the last 12 months, as we've been in election year and seen all the stuff that's going on, how there is maybe an understanding emerging that we need to return to just some basic things, prayer being the most critical component of it.
Definitely. We'd love to speak to that, because you're right. I think over the years we became so dependent on programs that we really just almost programmed the Holy Spirit right out of our churches, because we thought we can do this. And so, you know, in evangelism for us, the missing piece is prayer. You know, we have some amazing programs in training people how to share their faith, but unless you're seeking the face of God, unless you're able to see where God is working and be able to see people the way God sees people, there's no motivation to share the story. There's no motivation to share the faith, and that is why prayer is the vital piece here of calling the church back to the priority of prayer, asking God to break our hearts for what breaks is, asking God to show us where he's working so we can join him in his work as he is continually drawing the lost unto himself, and getting that vital component back into our evangelism strategies, because a successful church is not a church is not based on budgets and buildings and baptisms. It's about transformation, our lives being transformed, and that can only happen by the work of the Holy Spirit. And as we seek God in prayer, then we discover ways to join God in what he's doing. And that's why when we begin working with churches and across cities, the very first step is we need to have a prayer encounter with God. We need to get back to the priority of seeking his face for revival in our own lives, and asking God to begin to break our hearts for the cities in which we live.
John, I was thinking as you're talking, I think that you're right exactly where it needs to be. Really, where we need to be is in alignment with God's will, not seeking God to get into alignment with our desires.
Definitely.
There's an aspect I wrote down a couple of things. We're talking about going from prayer to programs. And I think, you know, so many times we also need to pray that we move from, it seems like we have moved from humility to hubris, from meditation to marketing, and from prayer to programs. For these many, many years, it seems, we've moved off of what God says and what he's laid out as the roadmap, and say, we think we have a better way. And it never does work out that way. The verse that says that God desires obedience more than sacrifice, expound upon that a little bit, because that's really what you're talking about here, I think.
Well, definitely. God is seeking us to join him. It's almost like we've tried to redefine the mission. And God is like, I've already given you the mission to go make disciples. I'm already on mission seeking and saving the lost. What I want you to do is be obedient in joining me. And one of the things we continually say to people from the rooftop perspective is that, you know, as we're talking to pastors and churches, you know, we're not presenting a new program. This is a transformational process that needs to take place in the life of the church, so the church recaptures God's heart for the lost, so they can begin engaging those that they're among every day who desperately need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God is looking for that obedience, and it's out of that obedience comes the blessing of God pouring out his Spirit upon his people.
John, I'm going to use an analogy here. Gary, my friend that is on the program, is a big Penn State fan, and we tease back and forth about Alabama versus Penn State. But the coach at Alabama, Nick Saban, has a thing he calls the process. And he tells his players, if you will submit your life to this process, you will be a success. And of course, anybody that knows what's been taking place at the University of Alabama from a football perspective will understand that Coach Saban has hit on something, and it's producing not just successful football teams, it's producing successful young men who go out and live successfully in life. And that's what we're talking about here on a much higher level. We're talking about a spiritual plane here where God has laid out a process, and that's what you said. It's not programs. It is a transformational process. Can you talk about some of the cities within the United States where that process has been implemented either by churches, groups of churches, pastors, or groups of pastors, and maybe share just very quickly an incident or two of what God has done in the life of a city or the lives of individuals in that city as a result?
Yeah. There are several places. We have a number of churches out in Arizona, in Phoenix, for example, and Tucson, where we have a number of churches that are working through the process, and we're seeing God begin to do some transformational events there. We had one pastor, as he was walking through the process with his staff, he was talking about how God really broke their heart for the fact that they thought they had a heart for the lost, but God really had to break their heart and show them, no, you really don't. And how that began to change the whole dynamics of the church. Right now I'm working closely with Chicago. We're about to have a major rooftop prayer event there on top of the on the 99th floor of the Sears Tower, where we're beginning to work with some churches there. Alexandria, Kentucky, Main Street Baptist Church. I mean, it's just amazing to see as churches begin to work through this process of really beginning to connect with God's heart and ask God to show them how they're standing in God's way of what God's trying to do in their city, and they're repenting of that, and they begin to get that fresh vision. It's amazing to see how God changes. We had a businessman in Kentucky who God gave a burden for a trailer park near his home that he had at one point despised because it was bringing down his value on his property. Now does a ministry in that trailer park because God broke his heart for those people living there. And so it's exciting to see as people begin to walk through the process of really seeking God and repenting and joining Him on mission, how the transformation begins to take place.
You know, John, that statement that you gave that we are programming prayer out of our churches, Sam made reference to that. Dave made reference to that since you mentioned it, and it is so absolutely true. I think sometimes in our churches today we are programmed to death. And sometimes I think those programs actually lead us away from our walk with the Lord. My question to you, brother, is what is it going to take in the average evangelical church across the nation today to put the programs aside and to bring prayer back into proper perspective?
Well, of course, first of all, it has to be led by the pastor. I think there has to be that time with and I think more and more pastors are realizing this, that we've got to draw the line, get back to the basics, and begin to really going back to Acts chapter 2:42, and looking at what the early church did, and really begin seeking the face of God. So many of our prayer meetings have become more Bible studies than prayer meetings, and we spend more time talking about prayer than doing prayer, and we have to get back to that thing of really seeking the face of God. And realizing, and I think part of the problem is we got to understand that prayer is relational, not transactional. We tend to make prayer very transactional, and it's very relational. Prayer is a relationship with the living God, and so I think a lot of it is pastors really saying, listen, we need to really cut out all the fluff that we're doing and really get back to seeking the face of God and saying, God, what do you want us to do? In Acts chapter 11, one of the most powerful passages in Acts chapter 11 is when Peter is explaining to the church in Jerusalem what has happened in the home of Cornelius, this Gentile centurion, in Acts 10, where he and his household are radically saved. And Peter's sharing the story of what God did, and then Peter makes the statement, who was I to stand in God's way? And I think part of the problem is many times we think we are walking in God's way when we're really standing in God's way. Because of the fact that we've programmed so much.
John, very quickly, give the website address or the contact information should anybody want to get in contact with you.
Website address is therooftop.org/US, and then I'll take you right to the US page.
Friends, we've been talking with John Whaley of a ministry called The Rooftop, an international prayer ministry. Obviously, if you have listened to the program today, you have caught his heart. And you've also heard that Sam Geary and I completely concur. This is the missing element. And I believe, friends, based on what the Bible teaches, what we've heard today, and to be quite candid with you, what I saw in D.C. about 2 weeks ago, I think we may be on the verge of another national revival.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Up next, Dr. Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From high school dropout and teenage mother to esteemed Vanderbilt University political science and law professor, Carol examines the religious significance of today's most pressing issues and courageously exposes the cultural forces that threaten our cherished values and principles.
Season's greetings. I often call myself a repository of unsolicited advice. My unsolicited advice for you this holiday season is to keep your mouth shut about political matters, especially as you visit with family and friends who may see the world just a little bit differently. We do well to remember the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus in Matthew 5:9 told his followers, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Sometimes being a peacemaker means biting your tongue, even.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
It is said that confession is good for the soul. So, friends, I'm going to make an honest confession here in final segment of today's program, and then at the end of the program, we're going to ask our special guest, John Whaley, to take us to the throne of grace, as we have been doing now for weeks leading up to the November 8 elections, and then in the weeks that have followed, we have continued this time of prayer at the very end of the program. But Gary, Sam, John, I just want to share something with you. In 1999, our ministry expanded from a local church ministry to a citywide crusade emphasis in addition to our local church evangelism. And we brought a gentleman aboard who is one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. He was a dear friend then. He is now with the Lord. And he had great skills and tremendous skill set in a certain area that our ministry needed. But beyond that, he had a heart for God that he brought to the table as well. But what we began doing, men, and this is the subtle deception I think we buy into, that if we organize sufficiently, then God has to bless that which we have organized. May I say this? God does not bless organizing. He blesses agonizing. And I saw the ministry that the Lord had laid on my heart beginning to fail in front of me. I called one of my dear pastor friends, a gentleman that I worked with in Tampa, Florida, right out of college. And I said to him, Steve, I see my dream dying, this dream of citywide evangelism. I see it dying. And I'll never forget what Steve said to me. It was a gentle but very much needed rebuke. He said, Dave, every man has to see the death of his dream so that God can breathe his life into it. And then he explained what he meant. Dave, it's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. Is what your dream that you carry in your heart, is it what is God's dream? Or are you dreaming something different? And then he said this, Dave, I would suggest that above and beyond all things, you make prayer, diligent, earnest supplication, a part of your ministry like you've never done before. It's not that we didn't pray, but it wasn't that it was the centerpiece of everything we did. And so beginning after that phone conversation, we begin to pray and make prayer a part of all of our meetings as a ministry team. Yes, we discuss. Yes, we plan. Yes, we strategize. Yes, we do all of that. But anybody that attends one of those meetings will know that the most important component is prayer. And it was at that point God began to bless and carry Hope Ministries International forward. And I say that for God's glory. I say it because he is the doer of it. John, is this not the very thing you're talking about? Us getting our plans out of the way and finding out, God, what is it you want? And being willing to get alone with him in the secret place of prayer until we find out what it is he wants.
Exactly. That's exactly what we have to do. We spend too many years asking God to bless our plans instead of asking God, where are you moving? Where are you blessing so we can join you? And once we make that shift and become fluid in that relationship, walking with him, everything changes.
Gary, you're a pastor. You've pastored for many years, and you made the comment earlier about programs and programming, you know, God and the Lord and the Holy Spirit out of our churches. Boy, I'd love to hear a little bit of a word of exhortation, admonition, as we get ready to wrap up the program today.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Dave, you know, without prayer, nothing is going to be done. And by the way, I remember when you went through that period of time, you know, seeking God's direction that led you to spending more time in prayer with your ministry. And just look how God has blessed it. I mean, I can say amen over and over again to see how God blessed your ministry, has blessed your ministry in the past 20 years or so as a result of you making that decision. But I mentioned to our congregation last Wednesday night, we had our congregational meeting, and I mentioned to our congregation that this particular church that I pastor, and it is relevant to every local church, is God's church. And God has a specific plan for each church. You know, you might have a half a dozen good churches in a small community, and people say, well, why are there so many good churches in a small community? And I've often said that I believe it's because God has a specific purpose for each church in that community to reach that community for Christ. The church that I pastor, the church that you go to, the church that John and Sam go to, those churches are churches that have a particular ministry. They all belong to God. And the only way to know what God's plan is for those churches is through prayer. Prayer is talking to God, spending time with God, hearing God speak. And, you know, there are so many promises back in the Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that the Lord has given us about prayer. And prayer is God's idea. Jeremiah 33:3, God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And, you know, Dave and Sam and John, at the church that I pastor, for years, years and years now, the first full week of every year is a week of prayer at our church. We have a prayer conference. We meet and we are taught in the evening. We pray during the day. And I have often said that it's the result of that particular week of prayer that we see anything accomplished in this ministry. Without prayer, the power of God will never be seen, David.
You know, gentlemen, it was Alfred Lord Tennyson who made the following statement: "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore, let thy voice rise like a fountain before him, night and day." Wow, what a statement. John, I want you to do this. And again, this is something we have done now for weeks and weeks, and that is close out our program every day by going to the throne room of God. And I'd love for you to pray as God leads you, but I want to give you a prayer request. And several people that listen to the program have been texting me throughout saying we need to pray about the Electoral College vote today, that the will of the people and the process set in place by our founders would not be thwarted. Would you add that to the things that you pray for as you close out the program today, my friend? I'd greatly appreciate it.
Be glad to. Let's pray. Father, we just come today confessing our desperate need for you, recognizing that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for this season that we can celebrate the coming of your Son, the Messiah. Father, we do pray today in this time of just national change that's taking place. And God, we're asking that you would just step into this entire electoral college process today. That God, everything would be done according to your will and the will of the American people who have voted and expressed their desire for Trump, Mr. Trump, to be our next president. God, we're asking that you just put your hedge of protection around this process today, that everything will go according to your will and to the desires of our forefathers. But Father, we just come seeking you today for revival across the land. We come asking that you call us back to your heart for a lost world that desperately needs you. God, that you call us back to the priority of prayer in our lives, that Father, we become a people who understand that we advance on our knees, not in our boardrooms making plans, but seeking your face, Father, for your will to be done and your kingdom to be advanced. And Father, we just ask that you would pour out your spirit on your bride and on your people across this land. And God, we would see a mighty spiritual awakening take place across this nation as revival breaks out across the church. Father, we just come seeking you, knowing that you're the answer. Forgive us when we have allowed our programs and plans to become more important than seeking your face. And God, just set our hearts on fire for the things that honor you and magnify you and please you. We want to join you in your mission each day, and we just give you the glory for how you're moving across this land already, how people are more and more just seeking you in prayer. We just ask, God, just move as only you can and show your glory in our midst. And even today, as our electors go to vote, just show your glory again, Father. We just look to you. Thank you for your amazing grace that you pour out on us every single day of our lives. And we pray all this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Friends, you've been listening to John Whaley with The Rooftop. If you would like to know more about that ministry, just simply go to therooftop.org, therooftop.org, and you can contact John directly there. And friends, I want to just give you this word of admonition. The electors are voting even as we speak, and unless they start speaking out later today and give the outcome of the vote, technically the vote that is being done today will not be counted until January 6th in the Senate, unless the electors themselves give out what they did state by state, which they may very well do. But friends, a lot to pray about between now and Inauguration Day. Please continue going to the throne of grace. You've been listening to Stand in the Gap today. Join us again 23 hours from now for another installment into the truth. And until then, you stand for the truth where you live.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM.